Well, not only do I have some things that the children are going to see, but I've got something here as well I want to just bring out. But you're not going to see it. I'm going to leave it covered up. Okay? You can see it later. I should just tell you a few things, maybe, and just keep you guessing. Okay? Everybody likes maybe a guessing game. They just don't like to leave it so long, though. Okay? So there it is. Not going to tell you what it is. You can guess, maybe, and I'll reveal it at the end of my talk. Okay? So for those who are curious amongst you, let's see how long you can last for. Yeah? But it's something which is really special to Pauline and myself. It's something that we were... I think it was a present that we were given. And it's something that is kept in our house on the mantelpiece. No, not the mantelpiece. The dressing table in our dining room. Okay? Any more than that, I'm not going to tell you. So, there we are. And now Pauline's going to try and guess what it is because she doesn't know what I brought here this morning either. And she obviously never realised there's a gap on the shelf. But there we go. It's all right, it's all dusted. Yeah. She'd probably kill me if I brought something that wasn't dusted, you know. But there we are. Okay. So anyway, this morning, I'm glad, Tom, that you've chosen some songs, especially, and you've also prayed. It seems like, you know, the Holy Spirit's been at work already in the way in which you have chosen the songs and the way in which the service is going so far, because it really talks about the heart. The songs have been about the heart, your prayers, that we had been enlightened, that we would be able to worship the Lord with our heart. Our hearts would be opened and receptive to his word this morning. And so it set the scene, really, so that's fantastic. Prayers have been answered already. And I'm going to talk about a story which you're probably all familiar with, and you're probably going to think about, what's he talking about this story for? Nothing to do with this time of the year. However, all will become clear later on. Okay? And that's why I'll reveal that later on. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had exciting times in our lives, and I'm sure you have as well. And when you have exciting times, you know, your heart really starts to pound. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic sometimes that we have joyous times. And it's also really exciting sometimes when, you know, we have a new birth like we did in the family. Great. And Isabella is doing really, really well. She's put on some weight and her mom and dad are doing very well as well. So that's an answer to prayer. And that creates in us a heartfelt, warming feeling that, yes, they're all doing very well. Because you tend to worry about things sometimes, don't you? If they're not going very well. And also, sometimes circumstances around us change. Tom's been praying for things like that this morning. There are people definitely in need. And I'm sure there's people in need here. And quite often, your heart, your joy is not always there. And you feel so downcast in your life. What am I to do? Yes, you bring it before the Lord, but you still have that feeling and that thought that, oh no, what else can I do? I've prayed and it's not really working out all that well. So you pray again and you pray again. And hopefully at some stage, that joy will be brought back to you. There's a story about some people in the New Testament. And that's where I'm going to turn to now. And I'm going to turn to the book. Is it up there yet, Donald? I'm going to turn to the book of Luke. And it's all about a story, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, about these two disciples. And they're walking on a road. And the road is known as, come on, you all know it, it's the road to Emmaus, okay? Events leading up to this have been as this. We've had the Lord Jesus Christ. They have known him, they have walked with him, they have talked with him. They've known who he was, what he stood for, and hopefully what he was going to do. But it hadn't all clicked in their mind. Because now this Jesus, the sudden events of all those great miracles that he had performed, all those great talks, all the different things they'd heard and they'd learned about, seemed to have come to nothing. And the Lord Jesus Christ was now given over to the Roman authorities for crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus Christ was hung on a tree. He was taken down and he was put into the burial tomb. And there they left him. And then the women on that day, third day, went along to see and to apply the spices to his body. And yet there they found the tomb was completely empty. And everybody knew about it. It was in the talk. It was in the town. It was in the marketplace. Even the disciples were talking about it. What are we going to do? This was our hope. And now he's been crucified. This was the person we were going to put our trust in. We had our hope in. And we thought that he was going to do something tremendous. But now it's all dashed. Our thoughts, our feelings, our prayers, our hopes, all gone. And we've got all the disciples locked in the upper room. We've got all the disciples plus all those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. 120 of them in that upper room. And there we have these two people called Cleopas. And Cleopas and another. And quite often some scholars say, well, I wonder if this was Mary. Mary was his wife. There are lots of Marys in the New Testament. But this Mary, on this occasion, could well have been Cleopas's wife. If you read back further in Luke, you'll find out there are lots of Marys, and they talk about Cleopas's wife called Mary. I wonder if it was them that were then talking about what happened, what are we going to do? And I've got in my mind, I don't know about you, but I'm curious, what were they talking about? And they were going to travel for 2.5 hours all the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They had a long time to chat. So these are some of the words that have been recorded for us to read. So if you do have your Bibles, then please turn to it. If not, I'll just read it out to you anyway. This is chapter 24 and starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as they was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us?' While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." I don't know about you, but it's a fantastic story, really, to be honest, because here's these two people. Their hearts are downcast, and they know, really, that all hope has gone. And yet, they speak to Jesus. And they're there, communing with him for a couple of hours as they walk home, probably. It's a wonderful thought and a wonderful recollection of what the Lord Jesus does. Because here we have two people, didn't know this person, but yet they invited him in to, walk with us. They didn't know him. He could have been anybody. They were kept from recognizing him, remember? But yet they invited a stranger in. They shared with him. And afterwards, they invited him in to their home. And they fellowshipped with him. And it was only then that their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. Go next one, Donald. Okay. Question for you. What and what happened? What and why were they downcast? Well, we already know that their hearts were downcast because they had thought and they had known from Old Testament scriptures that this Messiah, this person who would be sent by God, would redeem them from what, I wonder? Well, they believed, because they were in this situation whereby they were under Roman occupation, that they would be freed from Roman occupation. So to redeem them, to give them freedom from their persecutors, what would happen is they would be given freedom from the Romans. And they would be redeemed, in other words, bought, saved, rescued from the occupation. And they then would be the victors. Because quite often in the Old Testament times, God would give them the victory through David, through Saul, through Solomon, through all of those kings who would fight the battles. And yes, the Lord God was on their side. And yes, they would have the victory. But this time, when there was an occupation, they thought exactly the same thing, that they would be redeemed from this Roman occupation. However, their thoughts were not quite right. And the person whom they had now crucified was actually that Messiah. They blew it, in other words. They'd done the wrong thing. Yes, some of them have stood up, those true disciples, and said, yeah, he should be saved. But yet even his closest, Peter, ran away and denied him three times. So sad. But yet, these two people now are talking about past events. So what is this redemption all about? Because quite clearly they had got it wrong. They were not going to be freed from Roman occupation. Got another one. So they were going to be redeemed from something else. But let me tell you and explain to you about what this redemption really means. Because all the way back in the Old Testament, it is time and time and time again spoken of as to what's going to happen with the Jews. They would be redeemed. So what does this word redeemed actually mean? Well, back in the Old Testament, you probably all know and have read the book of Ruth. And within that book and within many passages in the Old Testament, and Isaiah included, we talk about having a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is that person who is the next of kin, basically. And that next of kin, who is the man, should take care of all of those people who have either been widowed or who have got not very much with them. And so that person must take care of them. In the book of the Lord Leviticus, it is written down that if your brother, if your sister-in-law, if your brother then dies, you are then to marry your sister-in-law so that she would then have the line of a son then continuing through the family. So you as the next of kin had such a responsibility. And that responsibility was placed upon that person, the kinsman. So he would take on board the household, he would have to buy the land that was left, he would have to take on the family that's already there, and have to take on the wife. It was a responsibility that was had to take place. It was the law. There was no excuse. And that's what happened in the book of Ruth. We have Boaz, who was the next kinsman redeemer. But he said, no, there is somebody else who's even closer than I. And they went to that person, and as soon as Boaz mentioned, no, you don't just take on the wife, You've got to take on the family. You've got to take on the land. You've got to buy it. He said, no, I want nothing to do with it. Sorry. No, you have it. I want nothing to do with it. And their sign of a sealed declaration there was to take their sandals off and put them together. And so that's what they did there and then. And we find out that Ruth then was bought. Her and her land and all the other property was given to Boaz. And she became his wife. And they had children. And it's quite amazing, actually, as we find out, this kinsman redeemer line continues through the Old Testament into the New Testament. Because who did Ruth give birth to? No other than Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Can we see where this is going, folks? Who was Jesus? He was in the line of David, a kingly room, a reign. And so he was from the tribe of Judah. And that has continued all the way throughout. Jesus was that kinsman redeemer. He had to fulfill the law. Scripture tells us that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he was to fulfill it. His duty, his task, his responsibility, he must then fulfill this. And he didn't come to fulfill the task of freeing the Jews from Roman occupation. He came to free them from sin. He redeemed them from sin. And the only way was to do that, to be that sacrificial lamb on the cross at Calvary. And now these people are talking about it as though this is such a sad occasion, because their penny hadn't quite dropped. They hadn't recognised what had happened, why Jesus died. He had to die in order that they would be bought and they would be his family. Why did he do this to the Jews? Remember all the way back the covenant between Abraham. I am your people. You are my people. I am your God. Yahweh, I am your God. You are my people. That is the relationship. He is God the Father. They are all his children. And as such, he was the next in line. So Jesus had to do this and fulfill it. It's a very important thing that we need to understand this morning, that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. We are adopted into his family. As such, he has bought us freedom from sin. Freedom from occupation of all those things which hinder our lives. Freedom so that one day, and we sang about it already this morning, that if we die before the Lord Jesus comes again, we will go to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are still here and he meets us in the air, we still are going to go to be with heaven, to be with Jesus in heaven, because that is our inheritance. Because he has bought us as our kinsman redeemer. What a wonderful thing this morning. Are our hearts downcast then, when we know so much that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? Can you understand now that yes, these people were downcast because they didn't really realise who Jesus truly was and what they had in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so therefore now they've been enlightened at the end of their journey. Let's move to the next one. And again, Donald. As we find out then, in the Old Testament, and this is really where we get our information from about the Old Testament, because Jesus then, and this is another question I'd like to discuss with all the prophets and all the different people when we get to heaven. It's going to be a fantastic time, really, isn't it, of discussion when we go to heaven. What did you actually say, Jesus, when you spoke to these people, Cleopas and maybe his wife or whoever it was? And he's going to talk to us. Well, I actually said this and this and this. However, it says he spoke to them starting with the prophets. Moses. Continue, please, Donald. And all we see here, we've got three different areas. And again, we've got the history and the law, we've got the poetry and the wisdom, and we've got the prophets. And all of these things have actually got a recognition of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and when he's going to come. And the people he was speaking to, Cleopas and his wife, or whoever it was, knew this. but they hadn't put two and two together and recognised what was going to take place. So starting in all the way through the history and the law, we've got the history, we've got actually when Genesis was there, we have got the story of the seed. The seed was going to bruise the heel of Satan's head. That is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because that's from where we have been given this story. And that's what Jesus refers back to. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself was that given seed. We have the law, that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have poetry and wisdom. We've got the Passover lamb. We've got the suffering servant within the prophets. We've got the second coming in the book of Daniel through the prophets and the book of Ezekiel. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, as did Cleopas and the other person who was with him. They knew about this, but yet they still didn't understand who this Jesus was that they had walked and talked with. I wonder if that revelation has been given to you. And I wonder if after this time, because we're in a type of a gap time at the moment that a lot of people speak about. Yes, we've had such a wonderful time at Christmas. We're now leading up when we've got to pay for all the expenses. And this is actually that time when a lot of people get depressed. This is Christians alike, folks. It's not just those people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what hope do they have? Well, the hope that Christians have, and I hope that you have it also, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has got so much there he wants to give, if only you dig deep and say, Lord, help me. Please forgive me and come into my life, or enlighten me if I already know the scriptures and already know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he wants to help, he wants to cause you not to be downcast. And again, Donald, we can see here that even the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke referred to himself in Old Testament scripture from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he spoke that to all his disciples. And yet, quite often, they still didn't recognize. He had to ask a lot of disciples, who do you say I am? Who did the others say I am? And quite often, they'd get it wrong. And sometimes they get it right. They say you're the Christ. They say you're the Messiah. They say you're John the Baptist. He is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And now these two people have found out and they've gone back to tell. Next one, Donald, please. And again. This is truly one of the verses that I think the Lord wants us to listen to this morning. And that is the one which is spoken about here in verse 31 and 32. Those times, I wonder, when you have been in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've prayed, you've had times of worship, times of praise, times of praying in a closeness with each other, and you felt truly warmed that the Lord Jesus Christ has been there in the midst. That's what was prayed for today. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is here in the midst, I'm sure his prayer is that you would be warmed in your heart and you'd be so excited and so overwhelmed that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to encourage you today, that the Lord has done everything for you. But do you truly know what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? His disciples had the privilege of talking with him, but yet they still didn't know. And I wonder if you know who you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we realize that Jesus Christ is coming again? Do we realize that Jesus Christ wants to encourage you, to edify you, to anoint you as he did as King David? Because those he calls, he also equips. And on many times, I'm sure that you feel so close to the Lord that you truly want to shout it from the rooftops. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to share what you've got on your heart, because that's what being an evangel means, to go and share what you've got on your heart about the Lord Jesus Christ, to share it. But do we, I wonder, or are your hearts downcast because of the circumstances around you? The Lord wants to encourage you this morning because you've got so much in the Lord himself. And the next one, it's truly amazing what we have, because all these things and more that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prophet, that's what they had said on the road to Emmaus. They knew that he was a priest. They knew he was the Messiah eventually. They didn't truly think that he was a king, because a king to them was thought they were going to free them from the occupation that they were encompassed in. He was a friend, because he discipled many, many different people, especially those 12 that were close to him. He talked about being the giver of eternal life, but yet he said, "Where I am going, you cannot come." "Where are you going, Lord?" they said. "One day, I am going now to prepare a place for you." The Lord Jesus Christ has given us so many promises that we truly have a home in heaven, that no one can take away from us. Moths will not destroy it. Rust will not decay it. People will not be able to steal it. It is there for eternity, forever and ever and ever. And that's what God has promised. He is the Lord. He is righteous. He's holy. He's just. You can read that on your own. It is etc. and etc. Jesus Christ has accomplished everything on the cross. But do we tap into the wealth of what he has done and what he's got for us today and what he has for us in the future? Or do we quite often feel, "No, I can't do this." Or, "No, I'll just stay as I am and I'll just tick over day to day to day." And not really express the joy that's in your heart to those around you that quite often at this moment in time have got no hope. You've got the hope of the Lord Jesus. Share it, proclaim it, give it, so that others will be blessed as well. And just for the last one, Donald. What do we do with what we have then in Jesus Christ? Do we truly use this message? Do we truly use the truth which we have? Because in today's society, in a postmodern society, quite often people will say, "Well, that's your truth. I've got my truth." But how do you know that what you're saying is truly the truth if you can't back it up with scripture and conviction and commitment? If we just willy-nilly say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian," or maybe not say anything about it at all, how are others going to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? How are they going to share in that experience? The Lord took time to reveal himself to many, and especially those two on the road. Do we display it quite often? Are our hearts downcast? Are we walking around the streets like a lot of people? If you go to Gloucester or Tewkesbury or wherever it is, when we go down Ross and Wye, people's eyes are down here. They don't look at you. Why? Is it because we don't want to have eye contact? Is it because we don't want to share what we have? Is it because we don't want to portray the love, that excitement, that joy in which we have? Surely we should display that joy that we have. Yes, we haven't got to sing it all the time from the rooftops. Yes, we are going to be down at some stage. But for the sake of others, we need to be enthusiastic. I, as a teacher at school, if I'm not enthusiastic at delivering what I do, and I'm sure you probably realise this, when you're at school, if you have had a teacher who is enthusiastic, you remember that person. Is it not true? But if you've had somebody you absolutely hate and you loathe, you don't like the subject and that person is so boring, right, copy these sentences out, please, will you? Get on with it. It is so boring. But if you've got something which has been infused, you want then to learn more about it. And you're more curious as to what's taking place. Talk about it. That is not the easiest thing to do, is it? I wonder what's on your conversation tomorrow when you go to work, or when you go down to the supermarket, or when you're in your little group. What do we talk about? Does it ever come across in your conversation about what's happened today? Because quite often people will say, "What did you do yesterday?" "Oh, I had a fantastic day and we went to church," and then you carry on, and that's it. The opening has disappeared. Let us talk about, "Well, I really felt God speaking to me today. And maybe, you know, I could share that with you," or whatever. I don't know. And the last part to that, and our little picture. Are you the light of the world then? We all know that, but this encompasses it. What did Cleopas and Mary, or whoever it was, go and do with what they now had revealed to them? They went back to all the others with joy in their hearts, and they then, in their little group, "Didn't we feel our hearts burn they warmed. Do you not feel your heart warming this morning as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you in this fellowship group? Let's hope that he has, because he wants you to be warmed. He wants you to experience his joy. Now, as I promised, I did have this little thing on the table here, and I wanted to reveal it to you. The reason why I have done this is not just because this is attractive. I want this really to be you. I've set the scene for you to be curious. I want you to set the scene. I want, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to set the scene for others to be curious of what's in your life. Why is it you have hope? Why is it that you have something in your heart that I don't have? I want what you've got. I hope that's what you do to others who see you and are curious. Let's hope their joy, their hope is not dashed. The reason why I've got this, then you know what, do you know what it's pointing?
Yeah.
What is it? That's the one. This is a matatu. Look at that. You probably think, what the heck is that? No, this is a matatu. And anybody who's been to Africa would know that many people get squashed in a little minibus. They've got people sticking out the back, people crowded all the way in the front. They've got their chickens, their eggs, their bananas, whatever on top. And there is hardly any room for anybody. There is so much to talk about this. But our experience when we were living and working in Kenya, we had so much joy. We had so much love. And we had so much kindness that was shared to us that we talk about this every time people come into our dining room. And it gives us so many wonderful memories. And isn't that what we want to share? Haven't we got memories? Haven't we got thoughts? Haven't we got occasions when we can reflect and say and share to other people who don't have that hope? And that's the message this morning, that we are these witnesses. We are the people whom Jesus wants us, who wants to use. Enthuse others, cause them to be curious. Have your hearts warmed with the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ has got for us. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are such a wonderful Saviour. We thank you, Lord God, that you have done everything. We thank you, Lord God, that you are at the centre of our hearts. We thank you that our hearts have been warmed this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that we, because we are curious, can ask you, Lord, what's going to take place next? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who can I share this message with? Lord, you've got so many answers for us. Father, enthuse our hearts to share this message with those around us today, tomorrow, the day after, and continuing all through the days of our life. That you would be glorified, that others would be blessed, and we would be encouraged. Because we have such a glorious hope in you. Help us then, Father, to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Tom.